Thank you, Laura. This is Sunday mornings, March the 3rd, 2019. We're going to look at the subject this morning of the no fear zone. The fruit of the Spirit that God has planted in us is squeezing out all that has not been planted by our Heavenly Father. That is Matthew 15:13. I really want to stress here today that the fruit of the Spirit, the work within that God accomplishes is, and it lists them. This is the grace of God to help us live an overpowering life without any effort from us. This is a work that's working inside of us that when we stay in the Spirit, it will come out. It will manifest. Okay, well, we'll go ahead and read them. Galatians 5. God has put the fruit of the Spirit. I've heard people say, well, they're like seeds that God dropped in you. Well, I don't know about that, but I do know that as we mature in the Lord, that they become more prevalent in our life. But I think that's simply because we stay out of the flesh and we stay in the Spirit. So these attributes of God can come out, the fruit of the Spirit. It's an evidence that the Spirit is in you. Okay, 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit, the Amplified says, the work which His presence within accomplishes, which I like that, is love, joy, which is gladness, peace, patience, which is an even temper or forbearance, kindness, goodness, which is benevolence and faithfulness, gentleness, which is meekness and humility, self-control, which is self-restraint and continence. Against such things there is no law that can bring a charge. So when we walk in the fruit of the Spirit, Satan can never accuse us or bring a charge against us because we haven't stepped over in the flesh. You come under the law of sin and death when you do. So you can shut the mouth of the accuser. Okay. Romans 8. Read a few scriptures here. Romans chapter 8. These two scriptures are some of my favorite. Just what I said to you. 8:2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus. Well, let's read 1 because really it goes with it. Therefore, there's now no condemnation. Who is Satan? Accuser of the brethren. He's the condemner. There is no condemnation, nor judging guilty of wrong for those in Christ Jesus who live and walk not after the dictates of the flesh, but after the dictates of the Spirit. There it is, the whole thing in a nutshell right there. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the law of our new being, has freed me from the law of sin and death. And then, verse 11, and if the Spirit of Him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then He who raised up Christ Jesus from the dead will also restore to life your mortal, short-lived, perishable bodies to the Spirit who dwells in you. So all that are, verse 14, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. So things begin to manifest in our bodies as we stay in the Spirit walk and stay out of the flesh walk. Okay. What lenses are you looking through? Fear or faith? Okay, we're going to look at that. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now they're talking about the mind there. What you think. As you think. In your heart, so it is. That's why Jesus said, if you just lust in your heart, you've already done it. It's already been planted, already conceived. It's what they call premeditated. Well, that's why, you know, God says we're to meditate the Word, but when someone does a crime and stuff, a lot of times they're premeditated. They planned it, you know, thought about it, pondered it, and then they did it. What they thought in their heart, action brought it to pass. Okay, now go back to Galatians. We're going to read the works of the flesh. This is 5:19. Now the doings, the practices of the flesh are clear, obvious. They are immorality, impurity, indecency, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger. A lot of people think sorcery, yeah. That's where it starts. Ill temper, which anger's ill temper. Selfishness, divisions, which means dissensions. Party spirit, which is factions and sects with peculiar opinions and heresies. Envy, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. I warned you beforehand, just as I did previously, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So their faith is not going to operate. You can't operate faith in the flesh. You can only operate in faith in the Spirit. I think that's where a lot of people miss it, especially in the area of walking by faith and maybe healing. They think that they can stay in the flesh and receive the kingdom of God and all its benefits. And when they don't get it, they get disillusioned with God. And they're trying to work the kingdom in the flesh, and you can't do it. You've got to walk in the Spirit. Okay. Acts 28:1-6. We know what this is about, Paul. Now you know, in the system we live in, that is under the God of this world, his MO is fear. And so he promotes fear. We've been raised up as little kids, gone through school, and everything's basis has been in fear. We've been taught to fear. Right here. After we were safe on the island, we knew and recognized that it was called Malta. And the natives showed us unusual and remarkable kindness, for they kindled a fire and welcomed and received us all, since it had begun to rain and was cold. Now Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks, and he was laying them on the fire, when a viper crawled out because of the heat and fastened itself on his hand. When the natives saw the little animal hanging from his hand, they said to one another, "Doubtless this man is a murderer, for though he has been saved from the sea, justice, the goddess of avenging, has not permitted he should live." Now this is the world's eye view. You're a goner. Haven't we been raised that way? Then Paul simply shook off the small creature into the fire and suffered no evil effects. However, they were waiting expectantly, expecting him to swell up or suddenly drop dead. But when they had watched him a long time and said nothing fatal or saw nothing fatal or harmful come to him, they changed their minds and kept saying over and over that he was a god. No, not a god, a son of God. Paul learned to walk in the Spirit. He learned back there in Romans that I can't do it in the flesh. He was struggling with his flesh. Okay, but you know, vipers are deadly, blah, 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 wah, wah, wah. This is what we hear everywhere you go. The enemy sowed this into us, fear of things. God is faith of things. Satan, fear of things. Get a hold of that. Faith of things are fear of things. All right, Hebrews 1. Now faith is the assurance, or faith is the assurance of the things we hope for, the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. So faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. God teaches us the faith of things. That's what renewing of the mind does. We've come out of a kingdom or a whatever that's crammed into us the fear of things our whole entire life. And then God says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we've got to get a rearrangement of the faith of things and not the fear of things. That's what Paul did. He went from the fear of things to the faith of things. He had a reality. He had a revelation. Why? Because he'd had plenty of opportunities to learn them. Okay, this is good. This is bad. This is clean. This is unclean. We've got two kingdoms in operation here. The unclean one and the clean one. The Lord said to me, Satan will tempt you to go back under the law. He didn't want you free. Peter's dilemma. Oh, that's bad for you. Now, well, you know, in Acts chapter 10, Peter was on the rooftop waiting for the meal to be prepared. He fell into a trance. God let the sheet down of all the animals that they were forbidden under the law to eat. And God said, rise, Peter, kill it and eat it. Oh, no, Lord, all my life I've been trained, no, and I've never had any unclean thing touch my lips. And God said, what I call clean, you quit calling unclean. So then he went to Cornelius' house. And they got born again and filled with the Spirit. And so things began to change concerning the church. God no longer considers the law. But then he had a conversation with Paul later, where there was a group of Hellenists, it said, I think, Jews that came and meeting with them, and they were still under the law, and Peter saw them under the law, so Peter went and started acting like them, and Paul comes in and sees Peter acting insincere, being a hypocrite, and he called him on the carpet. How dare you put on the Gentiles this? Because he was the apostle to the Gentiles, and he was fighting for their freedom. No way. So he just called him on the carpet before everybody, saying, you know, you of all people ought to know better than to do something like this. Even called Barnabas, which was Paul's, at that time, partner, caused him to start digressing and start doing things, going back under the law and getting out of the Spirit. Okay, Jesus said in Matthew 15 and Mark 7 that it was not what went in the man that defiled the man, but it was what came out of his heart. What do we think in our heart? As a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Okay, there's where the defilement comes in. It's what we think about things. It's whatever lenses we have on, either the fear lenses or the faith lenses. I will always speak to you within the bounds of the fruit of the Spirit. This is what the Lord spoke to me. I never heard that before. I will always speak to you within the perimeter, because God's fruit, the Holy Spirit fruit. I will always speak to you within the bounds of the fruit of the Spirit. Why? Jesus' first sermon was the Beatitudes. This has to do with attitudes, how you act. Okay, you'll see it more as I go along. Okay, I will always speak to you within the bounds of the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, Hebrews 9, I want to look at just a page over where we were. Seeing that the first tabernacle was a parable, in it gifts and sacrifices were offered, and yet are incapable of perfecting the conscience or of cleansing and renewing the inner man of the worshiper. For the ceremonies deal only with clean and unclean. This is Hebrews 9:9. Y'all there? Let me read it again. Seeing that the first tabernacle was a parable or type or picture, in it gifts and sacrifices were offered, and yet are incapable of perfecting the conscience, or of cleansing and renewing the inner man of the worshiper. For the ceremonies deal only with clean and unclean meats and drinks and different washings, mere external rules and regulations for the body imposed to tide the worshipers over until the time of setting things straight, of reformation, of the complete new order when Christ the Messiah shall establish the reality of what these things foreshadow, a better covenant. He's talking about getting out of the flesh, because all they did, they were not spirit people. They were spiritually dead people. They were not born again. They were not filled with the Spirit. But that the appointed time came when Christ the Messiah appeared as a high priest of the better things that have come and are to come. Then through the greater, more perfect tabernacle, not made with human hands, that is, not a part of this material creation. Okay, it says here, he went once for all into the Holy of Holies of heaven, not by virtue of the blood of goats and calves, but by which to make reconciliation between God and man, but his own blood, having found and secured a complete redemption and everlasting release for us. For if the mere sprinkling of unholy and defiled persons with blood of goats and bulls, with the ashes of a burnt heifer, is sufficient for the purification of the body, how much more surely shall the blood of Christ, who by virtue of his eternal spirit, his own preexistent divine personality, has offered himself as an unblemished sacrifice to God, purify our consciences from dead works and lifeless observances to serve the ever-living God. So he is saying here that these acts and works of the flesh is not doing anything to purge your conscience. It's not doing anything to further your walk. It can't. He's talking about the new way, the walk of the Spirit, Jesus. Okay, I want to hit on just one today. I mean, all of them are good. God is love, and all the fruit of the Spirit, I believe, is love, because God is love, and our faith works by love. So keep that in your mind. I want to look at temperance right here. Temperance versus touch not, taste not, handle not. That's Colossians 2. We'll look at Colossians 2. Sometimes the Lord tells me something, it kind of blows my hair back for a little while until I finally get what he's trying to say to me. He's saying the same thing he's always said, and just gives it in different forms and formats. Okay, this is 2:20. If you have died with Christ to material ways of looking at things, here's those lenses, material ways of looking at things, and have escaped from the world's crude and elemental notions and teachings of externalism, that's what we've been brought up in, why do you live as if you still belong to the world? Why do you submit to rules and regulations such as, do not handle this, do not taste that, do not even touch them? If you go to the world, everything, especially in the area of diet, broccoli is clean, Hershey bar is unclean. Am I right? Referring to these things, all of which will perish, which perish with being used, to do this is to follow human precepts and doctrines. Such practices have indeed the outward appearance that popularly passes for wisdom in promoting self-imposed rigor of devotion and delight and self-humiliation and severity of discipline of the body, but they are of no value in checking the indulgence of the flesh, the lower nature. Instead, they do not honor God, but serve only to indulge the flesh. I'll say this about diets today. Diets does nothing to temperance the person that's on the diet. In fact, they usually become ravenous, raving lunatics when they get off of the diet. Yeah. Touch not, taste not, handle not. Temperance equals faith. This fruit of the Spirit is how our faith operates. When we walk in these fruit of the Spirit. Touch not, taste not, handle not. That's fear. We need our faith lenses on. The Lord's trying to help us see through new lenses. That's how Paul was able to shake off the viper and not suffer any harm. He was thoroughly persuaded and convinced in his mind God had gotten all the junk out of his, all of his religious training out of his mind. The way we will always have the perfect view, looking through the eyes of faith. Okay. All right. Let's look at the view of fear and its behavior. I wrote this down. I didn't ever find the book. I didn't look. It was called Yes, Yes, Living in a No-No World. But I want to look at, I read you the works of the law, what the flesh is and how the flesh tries to accomplish things. The flesh tries to appease the conscience and do all these things. If I do enough things, then I feel good about myself and God loves me. Understand? But if I'm walking by the fruit of the Spirit, I already know that. See, it's fear or faith. There's just two camps here. All right. A good example is the children of Israel. Psalms 105:3-7 says, He laded them with silver and gold. They came out of Egypt laden with silver and gold, and there was no sick or weak one among them. So he brought them out of Egypt. They'd been in the house of bondage. They'd been in slavery 430 years. But when they came out, they weren't sick and broken down anymore, and they were laden with silver and gold. They got paid back. They had a reset. They got paid back all the 430 years that Pharaoh had stolen all of their stuff. They got it back. But this is the way God's kingdom operates. Their youth was renewed, obviously. Their health was renewed, obviously, and their financial situation was obviously renewed. This is the way it is. No desert critters touched them. No vipers, no scorpions, whatever. I don't know what all is out there, but it's some pretty nasty stuff out there from what I can understand. And they did not, let me see, this is Numbers 21. It wasn't until Numbers 21 where the law was imparted, did they begin to see that death come back? The curse of the law. They wouldn't receive walking by faith. God dealt with them 10 times. They saw God do miracles 10 times in Egypt and they were protected. Then Adam, on their journey, they saw God 10 times do things and they still turned their back on God. They refused to walk in faith and they walked in fear. So God gave them what they wanted. Okay. All right. Numbers 21. It's the law of sin and death. He told them over there in Deuteronomy that they could choose what they wanted to do, who they wanted to serve, blessing or cursing. And even other times in the Old Testament, there were people that walked by faith and God honored that faith. David, look at David. They could have done it, even though the law had been instituted, but God had to bypass that law any time if they would have just believed him. Okay, 21. This is for, and they journeyed from Mount Hor by way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, and the people became impatient, depressed, much discouraged because of the trials of the way, and the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and we loathe this light, contemptible, unsubstantiated, whatever, manna. Then the Lord sent fiery, burning serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many Israelites died. No, what happened? The law was in place. They wouldn't walk by faith. What happened? Law, sin, and death is in operation. God didn't send the snakes. They were no longer under grace. And the people came to Moses and said, We have sinned. For we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he may take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent of bronze and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten when he looks at it shall live. Now, when you really study this out, you realize it wasn't just a quickie look. It was a continual fixed stare. They had to go by faith. If they wanted to be healed, they had to be healed by faith. And Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it on a pole. And if a serpent had bitten any man, when he looked to the serpent of bronze, attentively, expectantly, with a steady and observing gaze, he lived. In other words, he's like, they had to. It's like men watching football games. I mean, continual fixed stare. It's still the same today. We get over in that flesh, boom, la la. We walk in the spirit. We see what we want to see. Okay. By faith, they could recover. By faith. Temperance here means self-control, continence. So now, I read this to Danny, but I'll tell him, I said, you'll be hearing it again. This is just a general synopsis. Someone goes to the doctor. We just think this is a middle-aged man. He goes to the doctor for a checkup. The doctor says, you're overweight. You have high blood pressure. You have high blood sugar. You have high cholesterol. It's all that bad food you're eating and not doing any exercise. Prescription, diet and exercise, blood pressure medication, statin drugs, insulin for the diabetes. The world system's lenses that contradicts everything God's word says. It's a pair of glasses that we've come up under looking through, and everyone views everything through this way. This is the way you take care of everything. The church says, oh, God uses medicine. They're no help. The world's already condemned you to hell. And here the church comes along and says, oh yeah, God uses medicine. You go ahead and keep your little lollipop. I remember we come into the Spirit-filled walk. It was a church in Kermit, First Assembly, sweet little church. But I remember one of these guys saying, oh, God will never allow his people to ever go through anything. I'm thinking, what Bible is he reading? Is God double-minded? He's the great physician, right? Well, if that person comes to the Lord, what does he say? The Lord, the person, this man, if he comes to the Lord, what does the Lord say? You're out of control. Overweight and all the things by being out of control. Bring it into control. Walking in the fruit of the Spirit. This is God's diet plan. Self-control. Lord told me the diet plan is if you're out of control, then you fast. And it doesn't have to just be food. Temperance is not just food. It is any area that we do too much of. Walking the balanced walk, you know, this is kind of like the Christian walk here. Walking in the Spirit, I feel like. All right. Every once in a while we get over here and go, we get whacked because we get off in the flesh, fast, whatever we need to fast and get back on there. But the best is the fasting lifestyle. It's never letting your body ever get the upper hand. That's what Paul said. Man, I beat it up. I beat it up. I make it submit to me. It does not rule me. All right, we're going to look at a few scripture here. John 6. Now, I know I'm hitting some people today. I know. When it hits me, too, I know it's hitting y'all. The Lord knows where we live. He wants us to do better. He wants to help us. John 6:63 says, it is the Spirit who gives life. He is the life giver. The flesh conveys no benefit whatever. There is no profit in it. The words, truths that I have been speaking to you are spirit and life. So the Lord doesn't think too good about the flesh. He hates the flesh, especially sin. That's a flesh thing. Sin is fleshly. Okay, Galatians 5:16-18. But I say, walk and live, it says habitually, in the Holy Spirit, responsive to, controlled, and guided by the Spirit, then you will certainly not gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh of human nature without God. For the desires of the flesh are opposed to the Holy Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are opposed to the flesh, godless human nature. For these are antagonistic to each other, continually withstanding in conflict with each other, so that you are not free, but are prevented from doing what you desire to do. But if you're led by the Holy Spirit, you're not subject to the law. Just what I've been saying. Stepping over in the flesh, we're stepping over into the law and its ways and its lenses. Okay? Galatians 6 says, verse 7, do not be deceived and deluded and misled. God will not allow himself to be sneered at, scorned, disdained, or mocked by mere pretensions or professions or by his precepts being set aside. He inevitably deludes himself who attempts to delude God. For whatever man sows, that and that only is what he will reap. For if he sows to his own flesh, lower nature, sensuality, will from the flesh reap decay and ruin and destruction, but he who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. So why would the church teach that you can live in both worlds and receive everything you want? Never going to happen. Never going to happen. There's one or the other. He's pretty cut and dried and black and white as far as I can see it. Now, if I'm wrong, you show me. Change my mind about it. Are we playing games here? Or do we really want everything God has for us? I know this is a tough message, but are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Yeah. What is the conclusion? Fast to get back in control. Next, live the rest of your days higher, the fasting lifestyle. Whatever the flesh pulls at you to do something, say no. Or if you think you got to have something, say, I'll tell you, you ain't going to get it today just because you did that. I'm in control here. Paul said he treated his flesh rough because the flesh is just a big old spoiled brat baby. Oh, if you stay in the Spirit, you are protected. When you step into the flesh, you are not. You are a target and you get attacked. It's not the food or whatever it is. It's not that. Anything that is not in control in your life, there's a fruit of the Spirit that'll help you get it back in balance. So I'm looking at temperance today. All right, God is love. Faith works by love. Look at what love and faith will do. We're going to look at Hebrews 11. A lot of these guys in Hebrews 11 have gone through more than we've ever even. It shows me that whatever we can do it by faith. Because when we do it by faith, we've got the grace of God on us, the fruit of the Spirit within us, helping us to accomplish. Faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of the reality. Faith, perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. That ought to tell you right there. God does not reveal to the senses. It comes by faith. That's in the Spirit. For by faith, trust and holy fervor, born of faith, the men of old had divine testimony born to them, obtained a good report. By faith, we understand that the worlds during the successive ages were framed, fashioned, put in order, and equipped for their intended purpose by the word of God, so that what you see was not made out of things which are visible. Prompted by faith, Abel brought a better, good, we talked about first fruits, God brought God a better and more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, because of which it was testified of him that he was righteous, that he was upright and right standing with God, and God bore witness by accepting and acknowledging his gifts, and though he died, yet through the incident, he is still speaking. By faith, Enoch, he took his own rapture by faith. It says verse 6, without faith. Well, no, we can operate faith and still operate in the flesh. That's what it says here. But without faith, it's impossible to please and be satisfactory to him. One will cancel out the other. You're not going to operate faith and flesh in the same instance. You're not going to. If you choose the flesh, you just might as well go on with the flesh. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. Read that this week. Sarah. Sarah had all kinds of stuff done to her. Keep going. Abraham, Isaac, Joseph, Moses. It goes on over here. Talks about different ones. Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, Rahab, Joshua. All of these things, these exploits and things they did by faith. There's not a flesh hall of fame. There's just the faith hall of fame. Okay, what is God's love, the force behind our faith? It is in us. It's been shed abroad, Romans 5:5. Shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. The love of God is in us. When you determine you're going to walk in the Spirit, the gifts or the fruit of the Spirit will flow out of you in their love. They will flow out of you. I don't think it's something you have to work out. Oh, if I just had more love. Oh, if I just this. Oh, if I just that. No. This is a work that God does within. It puts within that I believe just flows out. The reason we don't see a lot of it is because we're in the flesh so much. Can't do both. Double-minded. That's what double-minded it is. James says, don't think. Don't even go there in your mind and think that the double-minded man is going to receive anything. Isn't that what the church teaches? Isn't that how we've been brought up? When you walk in the Spirit, you walk in love. You won't fulfill the lust of the flesh if you will. The love controls us, not our flesh. When you walk in the Spirit, love controls you. When you walk in the flesh, fear controls you. Stay in the Spirit. It's love fulfilled. Love fulfilled makes faith work. It's motivated by love. Walk in the flesh, we'll see what we don't want. Walk in the Spirit, we'll see what we want. Okay, I have one other. Okay, Numbers 11. I wrote this down earlier this morning. I came across it and I thought, perfect, fits perfect. Numbers 11:33, since we're talking about temperance. Now I want to get a picture here. You see the children of Israel, and they're crying and they're complaining, and we hate this manna. We hate it. We want meat. We want meat to eat. Well, God gave them their request, but look at verse 33. While the meat was yet between their teeth, before it was consumed, the anger of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord smote them with a very great plague. That place was called Geboth Hatavah, the graves of sensuous desire, because they buried the people who lusted, whose physical appetite caused them to sin. God had what feeding them what he believed he needed. They needed what was he being? What was manna? Symbol of the word. had them on a faith diet. He had them walking in the Spirit, eating faith food, and they wanted something other. What you've got is not good enough. We want meat, like in Egypt. You know, we had the fish pots, and we had the leeks and the onions and the cucumbers. Come on now. Fasting is not the best, but sometimes necessary to get back into control if there's areas in our life that are out of control. The fasting lifestyle is an even, balanced, and in control. And you know what? When you're in control and you got that body under, guess who else is under control and under your feet? Satan. Paul said, okay, this is 1 Corinthians 9:27. I've talked all around it, so we're going to read it. When we walk in the fruit of the Spirit, we're protected. When we step out, get over in the flesh, that's when we got the problems. 9:27. It's like to me, every time I think about this, I'm thinking about, which is a bunch of farce gobbledygook probably anyway now, but I used to think about like the Star Trek or something like that, or like the space shuttle coming in and they have to hit this little fine line and be right on the target, or they can bounce out of the atmosphere or whatever. That's the way it is, the walk of the Spirit. It's like there's a fine line to walk. And if you get over here, it's a bumpy ride, flesh. You stay here, different story. Okay, 9:27. But like a boxer, I buffet my body, handle it roughly, discipline it by hardships, and subdue it, for fear that after proclaiming to others the gospel and things pertaining to it, I myself should become unfit, not stand the test, be unapproved, and rejected as a counterfeit. What would cause you to be to the place where you're unfit? Shipwreck faith. In the kingdom of God, all about faith. If we don't want a shipwreck, then there's a way that we've got to walk. Okay, love equals temperance. The world system with Satan as its God has conditioned or conformed us to fear. I sadly have watched people go to the doctors for years and take all kinds of drugs, have all kinds of procedures, spend all their money with no success. They just grow worse and die. Watched it with my dad. We just watched it with a dear friend. It's like the woman with the issue of blood. She'd spent all she had on physician, but was no better, but grew worse. But then she heard about Jesus. If I just touch his garment, I will be made whole. She got just what she said. You think the Lord is saying something? There's three witnesses there, three different passages of Scripture about that. The whole system is motivated by Satan's agenda. John 10:10. Kill, steal, destroy. Take all your money. You're no better, but you grew worse and died. There it is, right there. Follow the Spirit, not someone's book. Better be careful whose book you follow. Because they may lead you, who knows, who knows. And besides that, a lot of time their book is what God's told them to do and not you. All right, Romans 14:17 says, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. We're supposed to be enjoying our life. Maybe if we get so much out of the flesh, we will. But we've been taught it's okay. It's like those baby trees, you know, we stake them up when they're babies. But when we start coming to a place where God is requiring us to be men. Time to put the childish ways behind us. All God's promises are what? We sang it this morning. Yes and amen. Yes and amen. That's 2 Corinthians 1:20. Healing is already paid for. What scripture is that? 1 Peter 2:24. Already healed. No longer a promise, but a done deal. It's really no longer a promise. A promise is something that hadn't happened yet. It's already done. He already did it. The fruit of the Spirit, the work God is accomplishing in us, is the counter to the fear zone. Fear keeps you out. Faith takes you in. Attitude determines altitude. Jesus' first sermon, the Beatitudes. Go read it. You probably find them listed in the fruit of the Spirit in some form or fashion. All right.